Blog Talk Radio.
Now, Dr. Praneet James, I want to say that I remember you, you were part of the How to Get Rich in the Hair business book several years ago. It's been several years at this point. But let's talk about your career. Now, with trichology, that's a big thing out there. We always have to tell folks because not everyone is still, even at this time, as familiar with what trichology is all about. So let's start at the beginning. Tell everybody a little bit about what trichology is all about.
Absolutely. Trichology is the study of the hair and the scalp. I work very closely with men, women, and children suffering from various hair and scalp disorders, hair loss, or just in general trying to get their hair to a healthy state. So I actually take a holistic approach to overall hair health.
I see. And what does that approach include? Because when you say a holistic approach, what does that mean?
A holistic approach. I'm also a naturopathic doctor. And we take, again, the holistic approach, meaning I take approach from the body system. Our body has 12 different systems. So normally when someone comes in for hair loss, what I do is do a body scan, and what that does is it tells me exactly what body systems are out of range. So, for example, a lot of my women that come in, they have their glandular system is out of range. Now, the glandular system is the system that houses their adrenal glands. That's the system that helps them to sleep. That's the system that consists of, the menopause issues stem from that particular system, a lot of your autoimmune issues. So if that system is out of range, of course, it's going to reflect in the hair. So that's what I like to do. We get to the culprit of what's actually going on versus just topically treating. So about 97% of my patients that I treat have a nutritional deficiency, which, of course, is the major contributing factor to the hair loss. So by getting to that culprit, we're going to prevent them from, spinning their wheels. Just like if someone has a circulatory system, you probably say, what does that have to do with hair loss? It has a lot to do with it because if the circulatory system is out of range, then it's going to reflect in the hair because the blood, of course, the circulatory system controls the blood. And if there is a blockage or inflammation in the body, the blood is flowing to the papilla. The papilla is what feeds the actual hair follicle. So, again, if there's a blockage, then, of course, that's going to block the hair growth and cause, hair loss, et cetera. So, huge. Our body systems, that's a, like I said, if it's something that's out of range, then it's going to reflect in the hair. Our hair is the barometer of our health. So, pretty much, if you have some type of, a major health condition or if something is out of range, it's going to reflect in the hair first.
This is Queen Treach, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapy Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo, Events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, Rugged is the new smooth.
The shop money is fast money, and if you're wise, you'll stash the money, because eventually you'll get burnt out. Now your pocket's looking funny. Never saw it coming, because you've been balling since 24. Do one-hand designer shoes all day, now your knees sore. Create your exit plan, or you'll be stuck in the trap. Like selling dope, the money come fast, and with no plan, it's a wrap. Miss your kids growing up trying to stack that paper. Now they're grown, and you missed out on their life, and I hope they don't hate you. The shop will make you money, but it can leave you blind. Taking that thing that you can't get back, and that's called time. Taking trips to the hair show, yeah, that's sweet, but then you gotta rush back to the shop to stand on your feet. I'm just trying to school this generation the best that I can. Ball out and stack that paper, make sure you got an exit plan. The hair game is like a trap, money falling in your lap. God forbid you get sick, now your clientele off track. You better get you some insurance, and that's just something you can't dodge, cause you mess around and you get sick, now you're forced to get a job. You buy your kids everything just to compensate for the time lost. Traded in the best years of their life just to call myself a boss.
You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show, the number one hair and beauty radio show worldwide, and the longest-running hair and beauty radio show.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
I was just thinking, and, you know, that's a very dangerous thing for me, but I was thinking about some directions of media, especially, and some of the moguls. One was featured recently on one of my favorite other shows, The Sunday Morning, and they were talking about Byron Allen and all the things that he's done with media. And they had something with Robert Townsend and Keenan Wayans and all this stuff, even, you know, Kamau Bell and Spike Lee. And I thought, wow, those are, you know, impressive people in my little mind. But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Carrie Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections that I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do, Carrie Hines.
Mary, just to even hear you speak of me like that is just, I can't even begin to tell you how profound that is. And when you mentioned folks like Byron Allen, I caught the tail end of that about Byron Allen. And I, on this amazing Sunday news program that I watch, and I'm going to Google it so I can see the whole piece because I'm so motivated by individuals like Mr. Allen and so many others who demand to be treated with respect and demand that our community is respected with regards to broadcasting and communication and recognizing the talents and contribute, you know, what we've contributed. And so I'm all in. And I also want to extend the same kind of greeting to you and what you've been able to accomplish, Mary Reed Johnson, and with Hair, Head, Heart. So thank you. Thank you very much for that wonderful intro.
Absolutely. And there's so many ways that we can start, but I'm thinking I'll start with kind of the 6 degrees of separation because I know you've had some of these topics and you've addressed them before they were, you know, addressed by, you know, some names that, you know, may have ties with whatever media source. And so let's maybe start with one. Let's talk about Cosby. And, you know, the show that you did, how did you come up with the idea to even approach that? And this was, you know, light years. I know who Camille Bell is, of course, but light years before this project was going, I think you had already addressed it. I mean, it went as it was unfolding. So how did you even come up with that, you know, feeling that pulse that maybe it needed to have a discussion?
Well, first, Mary, thank you so much. And I just want to preface all this by saying I don't know where Mary is going with whatever she wants to know, but the annals are open. Our archives are open, and I told her she has free reign to ask me anything that she wishes for you guys to know. So I'm glad you mentioned this. We did a piece called About Cosby and talking about Cosby. And I remember the graphic and the whole idea. And I had this inspiration from, you know, let me preface everything by saying let's go back to listen back for a moment on this, because a lot of what we do at Hair Radio and the Hair Radio Morning Show is steeped in coverage or revisiting topics and things that might make the general broadcast media a tad on the uncomfortable side. And it's not meant to do that. It's not designed to do that. It is for us to be able to be offer a bit of realism to the Black experience. And we welcome everybody to that experience. Doesn't matter who you are, what race or nationality or any of that stuff. But we wanted to take a look. I notice for the most part that when I look at media, I see a divide. I see that there is a way that it appears to me anyway, that, you know, folks outside of our community, you know, will listen or view discussions or topics or what have you, and folks that are inside of our community will view and listen and weigh in on different topics. And it can be largely said, of course, folks with shared experiences tend to have similar beliefs and all of that. So I can understand that. And folks outside of the community are looking inside or looking from the outside to what they perceive to be how we are. So that's kind of how that is. So when you are telling a story, whether it's my show or the general media out there, you're telling it from that perspective. And if you don't have folks from this community, from our community, being part of those stories being told, well, they're not going to really tell it with the kind of real cultural connection that it needs to have. I'll give you a quick case in point, then I'll circle back to your question about Cosby. I was watching, during the month of February, you'll always hear of Black History Month, and that's all wonderful and great. But I noticed a lot on local news, whenever that month comes around, and this is a good lesson for any time that you're listening to this wonderful piece today, but what I've noticed is that oftentimes the discourse or the what the local news is doing, they're not really telling you stories about Black history. They will take a story about a person, a Black person of note, who might now be running a cookie stand or whatever, and they will talk about that on their newscast and then put the moniker or the banner up there, Black History Month or what have you, when the real truth is all that they are doing is doing what they should be doing anyway, which is inclusivity about African Americans, just like other cultures should be represented. And so, but the thing is, it's not Black history. It's Black people, yep. But it's not really Black history. If you want
right.
to talk about the what the contributions of our ancestors have done for America, then talk about that. But you're not, you know, they think that by showing Black people and putting the banner Black, you know, that already tells me who's in your newsroom and what your discourse is doing and where there's a disconnection. So I don't want to be part of that, which is not organic for me. I want an organic experience each morning, and I want that experience to be shared by the folks who tune in. So there are,
and,
you know, I've never wanted to just, you know, when I like just to look at the shows and not, you know, even if they have Black people on their newscast, I'll tell you, you know, it's not, there's not an organic feeling for me. It's just, I see folks, and my favorite one is where you'll have folks who may be Black, who, you know, where folks outside the community look and they think they're kind of maybe not Black, and I'm looking at them thinking that they kind of might be Black, and somebody else is, because they, it's like I call them real, you know, invisible, kind of that can fit into anybody's mindset. You
commitment. I think it's a commitment to whether it's community or colorization or perspective or heart. All of those, you know, are things that paint and make it seem if like XYZ, even though in reality it's not too hard to scratch that surface and see the reality, which is that, you know, more than 98% of the media comes from an exclusive source. We'll just put it that way.
Exactly.
And so this is not a new story, but what I like about Hair Radio Network and what you do, Carrie, is that you are more genuine and don't seem to be afraid to have whomever, whatever story, and it's their story, you know, and you know, you invite them to present it. And I think that's very healthy. And again, you haven't been, it's not like your first time at the rodeo. You've been doing this for, what, 29 years or thereabouts? How long have you been?
Somewhere around there. we'll park it on that one. That's a good number to park
it on.
But Mary, I do in closing on that, I do want to just mention that, you know, my whole point was that you have these different newsrooms locally who generally don't include folks of, I don't see it with my eyes so much, especially here in my market, with the darker hues. And, but what I will find are folks who are totally the opposite, where it just does, it's not inclusive. And you feel that when you look at these things. And this is something that seems to be missing across the board, generally speaking. Now, when it comes to the Cosby conversation, that was my whole reason for thinking about Cosby, first of all, because when I thought about this and had the inspiration, it was from he had just been sent off to prison. You could see in the news coverage that to say it was slanted is like is the understatement of the year. And so it was in the midst of all of the you know, the confrontations.
Me Too moment.
The Me Too type movement and all of these things bubbling up to the surface. But there was a tinge of of other conversations that seemed to be the discourse that they were trying to bring to the surface, and that was color. And so with Bill Cosby's story, and again, he had just been sent off to prison, and the negative onslaught. And this is not to discuss whether or not he's innocent, as far as I'm concerned, or guilty. I have no idea. But what I do know is that the from my perspective, the lens was very different from what seemed to be, again, the folks inside versus outside the community. So as we moved along with his story that we've been kind of brought into this with local news media and the coverage of it, I just kind of thought that it was time to visit this after he had been away for some time, incarcerated. So I thought it was a good time that we should brush off this story that seemed to be, as far as the discourse I got from the media, was to lock him up, throw away the key.
And, well, I saw, and again, not to say whether he's guilty or innocent. I mean, everybody's guilty of something. Everybody, you know, just being responsible for your actions, whether you positioned yourself in someone's lair or, you know, whatever. I'm not going to retry that. But I also want to look at the concept of character assassination. And I want to look at the stereotypes, and I want to look at people being responsible and not responsible, on and on and on. There's just a myriad of directions we could go. But for him, one of the things that I would say, because you mentioned colorization, he was the first one, like they can pinpoint that this was the first leading black actor. He wasn't a subservient. He wasn't a lackey, whatever. He had equal footing with his co-actor, I guess, in I Spy, Robert Culp, right? They had equal roles, basically, and, you know, a little trendy. But he actually saw somebody being painted up in blackface who was going to be his stunt double for whatever episode, and he stood up and he's like, well, I'm thinking there's somebody who you could get who's already black, you know, that type of thing. So he opened up the door for that. He opened up the door for actors of all hues and all ages. You know, he did a lot of good. So to say that he's an imperfect person, I'm not necessarily shocked. I'm not necessarily saying he wasn't acting in some cultural ways that were accepted at the time, but the punishment and the crime don't seem to fit. I'm not going to judge that, but I'm looking at the good that he did as a black man in a very I want to say disadvantaged, but an unequal setting, and he still stood up and he still did good and right things, just like Hazel Scott. And, you know, we have more than one, but he had his longevity and the numbers of paths that he opened up for other people, clean comedians, you know, all kinds of things. I think that those just shouldn't be thrown out with the bathwater. You can't undo the good that he did, you know. But I think if people take a listen to that discussion, I think they will be reminded of all the layers that go into being a celebrity and all the layers that go into being a black celebrity, and even the more layers and amounts of courage that it takes to be a black celebrity who recognizes that you do have some power and to use it properly. When I say properly, I mean for the positive of mankind or, you know, humanitarian efforts. And, you know, they could have totally just blown him away and, you know, we never heard of who Bill Cosby was again, but it didn't work out that way. So, you know, I applaud you for giving him some space and having a discussion about, you know, the good and the bad. So I just wondered where it came from. Yeah.
And Mary, that is to just to end that, but that's exactly what happened. we wanted to take a look, and someone needed to mention the contributions. I'm from Philadelphia, so I grew up looking at every corner, and there's Temple University, and there is, you know, a very there's a very deep, profound feeling that you know Bill Cosby, that he's connected to, he's from Philly, he's connected to Philly, and this was, for all of us, we had that kind of pride. But the thing that really resonated was that he had done so much in the education sphere. And so, so yes, again, this is not to try guilty. We don't know. I don't know. Don't even, that's not my thing. I'm able to make that discernment about being able to see if to really look at the good. And that is something that is incredibly important. So, Mary, thank you for that. Oh, boy, I love, boy, you just opened up with a bang this morning. Okay.
Well, it's your show. I have to, I know that you have it, and I know that people need to know about it. So where did you come up with some of your titles for Hair Radio Morning Show? Because you've got the network, right? You've got the show. You have just a variety of parts of your brand. So expand on some of, you know, how one part of your brand led to the next part.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you mentioned this, Mary, because folks are, sometimes they can, you know, we have similar titles with everything, and everything is radio and hair, and you're not sure if you're listening to the radio show or a recorded podcast or the live show or a 24-hour network. So we have all the above. And let me just tell you, I'm so pleased that you ask it this way, because it started out as the Hair Radio Show. And Hair Radio at that time was one word. So it was H-A-I-R-A-D-I-O. It was the Hair Radio Show. So it was literally three words. Hair Radio was a made-up word. I later down the road separated it. But at that time, it was H-A-I Radio, the Hair Radio Show. And so no one could find it. So I said, okay, I got to separate the word hair from radio at that time in terms of the broadcast. And we started out of Newark, New Jersey on the station WNJR, which was located in downtown Newark, New Jersey. And that's on AM radio. So it's called AM and FM radio. It's called terrestrial radio. So so I started on terrestrial radio. Folks, you know, these days they start on the internet. They're starting on the podcast.
Right, right.
I predated all of that. So I started on an AM station with the Hair Radio Show. And that was a fluke. I had already been producing radio shows. I started with a show on the West Coast for kids, and then came back to the East Coast and started a
program. Go back to that. Was that the Fuzzy Bear?
Well, it was actually, it was our version. It was my own thought. It was called Fluff the Bear. Fluff the Bear was, and I'll tell you that story too. It's a very interesting story. But I have to say it really was the beginning of my whole journey. So, and I've never really told this story. And then I'll circle back to why and how we got to Hair Radio and the names and all of that. But yes, when I moved out to California, because I'm from Philadelphia, folks, again, just as a reminder, as I just mentioned, I'm from Philly. And so I went out to the West Coast, to L.A., to Los Angeles, to just kind of, you know, get out to the sunshine. I'd always wanted to. I'd traveled there many times working in the airlines. I said, let me give it a try. So I moved out to the West Coast back in the 90s. And started work for one of the major airlines, a legacy airline carrier, which is, means one of the old big-time airlines. And got with my coworkers, and I was inspired to create a children's character. And I was inspired by one of my friends who went to this super expensive school that you guys on the West Coast, all of my friends out in California, you know this school, it's USC. And there weren't a whole lot of, you know, wealthy black kids out there who were going to U.S. You know, you had to have money, essentially, was my take on the folks, the kids that went to USC at the time. And so my friend, who was ironically from New Jersey also, here on the East Coast that I met out there in LA. And so shouting out the folks in Hackensack, New Jersey. So my friend John, and I got to talk with John. John wrote, I was so proud of him. I'd never met anybody around my age who worked for Billboard magazine on the West Coast out in LA, which produces the Hollywood Reporter newspaper. Even to this day, they're still the same people on Wilshire Boulevard, which I lived off of Wilshire in LA. And so John was working for, you know, a Billboard magazine, and he had been, they paid him extra, I guess, because he was already working there, to interview Queen Latifah. So I'm looking at
who?
His article, Queen Latifah. She's an actress and rapper from, yes. She's still out there doing a lot of things. And this was in the 90s, and Queen Latifah was mainly a rap at that time. And so they put him in Billboard magazine with this huge picture, and it's still available on the internet too, by the way, this article that he did. And so I was so proud of John. I was like so proud. And I said, if John, now John was also going to school at USC, as I mentioned. And so I was like, wow, if he can do this, there's got to be something I can do. And so I went into, out in L.A., they have the apartment. And out there, it's a little different than here where I am in Brooklyn, New York, and probably out there where you are as well, Mary. But on the West Coast, out in L.A., the apartments all have like a little dressing room. So you've got a bathroom, and then you have a separate dressing room, which usually your bathroom lets into, and then you go into the rest of your apartment. Those were many of the apartments. You folks out there in LA know what I'm talking about. Well, that's very different here. I have never been into an apartment or even a house or anything on the East Coast that has a separate dressing room like that, unless you've got a mansion somewhere. So mm-hmm. out there, that was the typical, all these old apartments have that. So I went into my dressing room in Los Angeles, and recorded a children's show. I just said, you know what, I literally, in those days, you'd have a tape recorder. And I took a tape recorder and just told the story of something that was off the top of my head. And I made up a story being so influenced by, and I'll say that influence was from Winnie the Pooh, obviously, when I was a kid,
right.
That my mom bought me those stories. So I came up with the idea of Fluff the Bear. I never made that connection at the time, but looking back, and as we are now listening back, but yeah, I created the Fluff the Bear story on an audio tape, audio cassette for you guys from the last century, or the last couple
Thank
centuries.
You.
Yeah, so I created a story called Fluff the Bear, in which I was telling the story of a little child, a bear, who has great friend or these two little friends, and he went on a journey to fall asleep. So that was the whole story. Mm-hmm. That was the crux. Remember, it's for kids. You don't have to make it War and Peace. It just has to make sense to the little ones. And we didn't really talk down to them. We enjoyed telling a story that the whole family could listen to. And so I took this idea to my colleagues at the airline, and the airline supported us. They did a big article of me in their magazine, their airplane magazine. So you guys know
I remember
the airplane.
Those, yes.
You remember the back seats of each airline, you know, you
yes.
sit there and pull up. Well, I was on page 3. I'll never forget it for that month. And along with my colleagues at the airline. So we would voice the stories. And that led to so many other things. But largely, they had a plaque of me on the airline wall of my accomplishments. Mm-hmm. So the magazine, they had the picture, which I'll share with everybody. I put it on social media. I put it on our website at hairradio.com for everybody. But what was so astonishing is that no other employee had a plaque on the wall at the airline except me. And when I would fly on the airplane, you know, I would travel back from L.A. to my home, my family and stuff on the East Coast. they would announce that I was on the airplane and to turn to page 3 so they could read the article, and everybody would clap on the airplane. Well, that did it for me. So that's how I kind of that kind of really brought me into it. And, you know, to think, and so I thank John for inspiring me to create Fluff the Bear. That went on to the success at the airline. And then the big news is the airline wanted me to develop audio content for the airplane for children. So that led me to go to end up on Sunset Boulevard in L.A. At the same building where Atlantic Records was at the time. You guys, you know, may remember Atlantic Records. So I went out to that building, and because somehow I got connected with a public relations firm. Back in those days, I didn't know PR. I didn't know what a publicist was like anybody else. I was just like, you know, just going through life. And so I got connected with a public relations firm, and I remember going in that building and on the elevator looking out and seeing Atlantic Records on one of the floors on Sunset, and going up to the PR firm. And there were no black faces. Let me just be honest with everybody. There were none. And I sat in the conference room. They all came in, and they connected me with an outfit that took radio. They had their own radio network, which I still remember, and they took my children's cassette idea, my children's cassette, and turned it into a radio commercial. And they put that commercial of my cassette onto 875 stations advertisements. So we were in 875 markets talking about Fluff the Bear cassettes and the commercial, you know, the radio show and the, you know, get your own commercial. I'm sorry, get your own, buy your own cassette. So that was my first time being out in 875 markets at the beginning of this and the 90s. And so from there, I was discovered in part by, I took that and turned it into a weekly theater show. And the gentleman who was one of the stars of the Amos and Andy TV show, now remember this is Los Angeles, he had opened up and created a very respected live performing theater called the Ebony Showcase in Los Angeles. And he was there with his wife and his daughter, Valerie. And his name was Nicholas Stewart, was one of the stars of Amos and Andy. So I went to the theater. He loved me. They loved me there. And I got to know his family. And he allowed me to put on a Fluff the Bear live performing show on Saturdays, and that's what I did. So I had the radio show. By the way, the public relations firm introduced me to a radio station out in Glendale, California. So I was able to put on the very first radio show that was on that in LA anyway at 7:30 in the evening, called the Fluff the Bear Radio Show. And from there, that was all running kind of simultaneously with the theater show. From Nick's called, again, the Ebony Showcase Theater. What I loved about Ebony Showcase Theater, and again, you mentioned about the 6 degrees, is that one of the board of trustees, Nick Story had all these black celebrities as trustees of his theater, his board of trustees. And one of those individuals was, of course, guess who? Bill Cosby.
Spike. Oh, Bill. Oh, my.
Bill Cosby. So, there you go, Miss Mary.
Wow. Now we're listening to Hair Radio Network. Or which one are where we? Hair Radio Morning Show?
Well,
which degree are we in right now, Gary?
Well, that's the thing. And I wanted to spell out the beginning. So that's how the Hair Radio Show had started. So I got that impetus when I returned back home. I took the success from all those cassette sales, moved back to the East Coast and opened up office space in downtown Newark, New Jersey. And that's where I had my own staff. I had all kinds of folks helping me at that time with 2 assistants. And again, upstairs in Newark, it was really nice. Now, so I created the Hair Radio Show at that time. And the Hair Radio Show was really just the idea of taking, I thought I would just have a hairstylist or two give out some hair tips, and that would be it. So I assembled a staff. Most folks don't know that I didn't host the first hair radio show, even on my own production.
Well,
I had taken four hairstylists. Two were doing what in those days we called natural hair, which is what it is, still is. But they would do like locks and twists. That's what they were known for in Orange, New Jersey. And one lady, she was in Montclair, New Jersey, and she would talk about like the cosmetology side of hair care. Mm-hmm. And then I had another gentleman who was a barber, but I think he also did like natural hair, but he was like a barber in that realm. And the four of them, along with, I just produced the show, the first hair radio show, I just produced it. And they would talk, and they were wonderful. I love them so very much. But you're looking back at a lens now that's very different than in 1995. In 1995, we all had to be in the same room to produce a radio show like that, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
You could dial in, but it was, you had to go off to a radio station in those days. So it was so hard to connect everybody who was in different places. And they were awesome. I love them so very much. I wonder whatever happened to them. I'm going to see if I can find them
say
hi.
Great.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'm going to try to do that. I'm so glad we're having this discussion this morning on the Hair Radio Show. But, yeah, that's how I started. And the only reason I said, well, I love the hairstylist giving tips, but let me see if maybe I could do it since I couldn't get everybody as often as I wanted to. And I had schedules and things like that to adhere to for the radio stations that we were on down in Newark, New Jersey. And so I said, I'll take over the hosting if they'll accept me. I'm thinking, as far as the public is concerned, I said, because I can look at it from the novice's point of view, which is probably it's the angle anyway that I wanted to have. I wanted to ask the questions genuinely that folks who need to know, would like to know. It's the same thing I wanted to know. And that's what I did. Mm-hmm. I started with that in mind, and I took over the reins of host of my own show and creation for the Hair Radio Show, and that's how I started. But, Mary, with that impetus, or with the thought anyway, that I was providing content for just the general public, I had no idea that we were going to be taken over, so to speak, by professionals in the industry, by the product companies, by all kinds of folks coming on board, by the entertainment folks even hijacked us. But I had
talk about some of the product. Yeah, talk about some of the product connections and people in the industry that have appeared or that you've worked with on Hair Radio Network.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and also just to wrap it up so you know what happened after that, because we went from the three-word title, The Hair Radio Show, to the actual kind of like five-word title, which is The Hair Radio Morning Show. So as I said, back in 95, the Hair Radio Show was created, and I'm very proud of that. And we started again with folks, the general public providing tips. But as we moved along, I left the industry, and I wasn't as steeped in the hair industry. Let me just say that at that time. I got inspired by the folks at Bronner Brothers, which I'm shouting out the Bronner Brothers folks. I'm great friends with Bernard Bronner and all the people these days. But when I started, I didn't know them. So I went to the Bronner Brothers event down in Atlanta at that time and had a chance. I was so inspired by seeing so many amazing people of color assembled, great music blasting from through the rafters and all kinds of movement. And it was I was so touched. And then I got to know a lot of the African-American hairstylists who were there. They were off in their rooms. It was like a convention, and they invited me. They took me in and made me a part of their family. And that
Wonderful.
Feeling is still with me today. And I have devoted myself to the betterment of this community, and it's never waned. I'm still a person who cares very much for hairstylists and for hair people. That will never change, and I'm glad that I hope that I've represented the community well. And so that is how the Hair Radio Show began, and we brought it back in 2015 as the morning show, kind of like a, you know, Steve Harvey-ish, you know, type radio show, in which, and I didn't know if it was going to be accepted. I said, you know what, 3 hours every day, weekdays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 hours a day live? Oh, my goodness.
That's commitment.
That's commitment, mm-hmm. And that's how I started. And so I began, you know, producing that, never having been on this particular broadcast platform. But I started, and I had some friends, and they walked me through how to turn the buttons and hit the different things, because I'd never done it on that platform. And I got started with show number one, which is still out there for folks to listen to. But the issue with that is there is a big difference from listening back then to those three-hour shows. Like, my first week was just chaos. I didn't know what I was doing and hitting different buttons and all of that stuff. Well, again, that was in 2015. And since then, we've had quite success with it. We're talking about, you know, like close to 1,000 shows later. And so I'm just so grateful. I really am. So you ask about some of the guests who were on the show. Again, early on, it was just about giving hair tips. And so I would have on illuminated hairstylists. So folks who had reached a certain level in the industry, as well as others who they were just sharing their success with other hairstylists who were on the way up. And I felt that all could contribute to better hair care for everybody. And that was the whole idea and the foundation of the Hair Radio Show. But I do have to share this. It all sounds like, oh, it's perfectly normal to talk about hair on radio. Well, yeah, it sounds perfectly normal now because of something called a podcast. But when I created and I first told individuals, I'm going to do a show called The Hair Radio Show, I was literally laughed at. Literally to my face laughed at. A show about hair on radio? What? Nobody wants what?
You just got to know who you are, right?
Truth. Well, let me tell you, Mary, that was how it was looked at back in 1995. So no one knew of a word called podcast, in which podcast talks about all kind of a variety of subjects. Screwing in a light bulb can be a podcast. Well, nowadays, that's accepted. But in my day, again, there was no such thing as a podcast. We preceded the internet. So there was nothing but called like radio. And so I like to think of myself as, you know, the father of the podcast, if you will. Because that's what it was.
Oh, absolutely, a pioneer.
Right?
Absolutely. Oh. And when you talk about it's your day, I mean, it's still your day because
you have
not stopped growing and you've expanded just tremendously in the topics, in the range, and how you tie things together. It's like I know you have one book, but you need to make another book to explain kind of this rise and how you process, because it is amazing.
Well, you're very kind. And yes, I do have a couple of things out there that's available for you guys to read, and I'll talk about that. But Mary, that's the whole thing. And talking about laughing at the idea and notion of talking about hair, I remember here in, I was in Jersey, so the Northeast, and New York, the big newspaper, we have a couple. We have the big New York Times, which is a daily newspaper here for all the city. But we also had the New York Daily newspaper. And that was just as popular out there. Now, these are not, you know, I call, you know, throw papers for the urban side of town, if you know what I mean. So these were newspapers that reached across the board to every walk of life in New York City. And I remember that at that time, the reporter in New York, in the daily newspaper anyway, they used to do a section called Radio Something. It was a radio section. They used to talk about radio shows back then. And he was doing, I used to read the man's column. I was so excited that we would be mentioned in his column one day. I was so excited. And so that's what happened. I remember he printed something about Hair Radio, but it wasn't all that kind. What he said was that, here it is, here's the announcement to tune in to Hair Radio show, but why would anybody really care so much? Hair is so esoteric. That was the word he used. I didn't know really all that.
Esoteric. I'm going to have to look that one up.
Yes, and I had to look it up then too. But I knew it wasn't a pat on the back, so to speak. So I was just happy that my name was in the newspapers. It was literally in the New York Daily newspaper, just that one line or two. And I didn't appear again in the New York Daily newspaper until maybe 10 years later when I did a 10-year celebration about the Hair Radio show. And it was done at this huge place in Manhattan called the TV of Museum of the, the Museum of Television and Radio, of TV and Radio.
Oh, wow.
And I had never, this is not a place where you see a lot of folks from the hood going up into, okay, I'm going to just put it honest, out there. And this was where they had been around for like years, paying tribute to broadcast, and we're talking about broadcast, okay? And it is called, again, the Museum of TV and Radio. Now, they changed their name just recently to the Pelley Center, and and you can Google that out there. So they're still around, but they had a name change since we were there. They allowed me to come in. I couldn't afford to rent the space, and they allowed me to do a special 10-year celebration in their location. And I remember one of my good friends, Marilyn Bell, who is, she had a magazine called Black Elegance, BE, that she was the editor of or behind producing it. So she came to our event. So many other folks came to the Museum of TV and Radio in Manhattan in New York City to our celebration. And it was wonderful. They had chairs. You could all sit around and listen through the headsets and talk through their mics. Beautiful, a beautiful location. So I've got pictures of that too. So that was my beginning. That was my beginning. So you ask about hair products and all of that in my books. I recognized that I had a lot to share. And I tell all the fans of the show, even to this day, that it's got to be something that is real and true. And, you know, a lot of folks have gone on to emulate what I do or to be inspired by what I do. All that's wonderful and good and all of that. But it's flattery, but mine is really, truly organic. Like I tell people, well, you know, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show, my 3-hour live broadcast, which is Monday through Friday through Blog Talk. I said, you're listening to that from 6 to 9 New York Times, 5 to 8 Central. But that's only 3 hours each day. I said, I literally am the Hair Radio Show 24 hours a day. This is not just something I turn on and turn off at the end at 9 o'clock when we go off the air that day. I'm literally living the life of the Hair Radio Show. I do interviews. I book guests. I give people updates. I write down things. It is a full on operation, Mary, a full-on operation. So that's what I generally
do. Amazing. I mean, you still have to take care of yourself, so thank goodness you finally established business hours. But I know even when business per se is not something you're engaging in, you are still wrapped up in business things. So, I mean, we all benefit from it. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, well, you got it, Mary. And that's really how we started the Hair Radio Show, then morphed into the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're still there in that space. And then I turned that into a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hair radio network. And what that was designed to do at the time, this was in the early 2000s when I first created the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, is what I called it back then, in which I would literally have a hair radio show going on around the clock. And that's how I started. And that was way ahead of everybody, way ahead. The only issue at that time in the early 2000s is that many of the hair salons didn't have computers in our community. They might have had them in the other communities. We didn't have that many of that. I used to walk. I used to literally go and walk from salon to salon in the Northeast. So this is not something, you know, I didn't just wake up and decide I'm going to do hair radio. I lived every drop. I wrote hand cards and would pass out things and walk and talk to people. I went anywhere I could find to get the ear of folks who would listen, literally. And so that was my big thing. It really was. And I tried my darndest and kept beating the drum of the hair radio show out there. And we kind of kept on going from there. And that was really the generic start of how things kind of picked up. And my 24-hour network, I started it, and I said, you know what? I even knew that that was too early and ahead of its time. And I knew and felt it. I knew and felt it then. That was in like maybe 2003 or 4, something like that. So years later, long after I created even the 3-hour broadcast, long after I created that, because when I tell people that we're on or about around 1,000 broadcasts or what have you, it makes people think that I'm talking about my entire 25-year career or what have you, and I'm not. I'm only talking about the last several years as the morning version, the morning show, the radio morning show. So what I've done, the difference between that original 24-hour network that I created, the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, even the sharp-eared listeners, some of our interviews are classic interviews from that time period. You'll hear me intro them as the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. Well, you guys know out there, I no longer call it the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I call it the Hair Radio Streaming Network. So we are streaming these days, and I'll talk about that down the road, about the difference between broadcasting and streaming and all of that, and somehow some parts are the same and so forth and so on. But our streaming network is what has really done amazing things. And so we're the first to have that, which is based in hair and beauty. So I kept that thing going on our new version of this 24-hour network. But now I get to put on classic shows that I couldn't have done back then. I get to air the entire 3-hour episodes from our amazing archive of Hair Radio Morning Show episodes. And so largely when you tune in, you have that opportunity to listen to some of that, to listen back literally to some of those classic episodes with amazing guest stars that you asked me about earlier. Those guest stars include folks like CeCe Peniston, the amazing Dionne Warwick, who's, I mean, you're talking about folks who, CeCe Peniston is the queen of dance, you know, sold millions of records through Billboard. They kept track of all of that. But CeCe was one of the most sweetest celebrities. She was the very first celebrity that I think I interviewed ever for radio. She was kind enough to come up to my production studio, I told you, in Newark, New Jersey. And she and her manager, she came there. It was a 3-story walk-up. And I sent a limo for CeCe to come to our station in Newark, and she did. And she was just extraordinary and sat down with us. But the first I think she came to the production studio, and there was just one mic. So we were real close in those days, literally.
Wow.
And we shared that one mic. And CeCe was so sweet. She's the one out there, if you guys know, she had the big hit record called Finally, and so many others. You know, We Got a Love Thing and all these other songs that she had. Just huge success. And she's still out there, literally. So CeCe came to the studio and did the interview with us at that time. And she, like I said, she was the very first to come to the broadcast, and she had huge hit records and all of that. And so from her, I went on to interview a lot of other music, local folks in music and all of that, but to have the kind of success that I would later experience interviewing folks like Ray Goodman and Brown, all those folks, they were on the show, and I think they started their radio show after coming to my radio show. But I went on to interview folks like Dionne Warwick and, again, Melba Moore. You're talking about Grammy and Tony Award-winning names. Gerald Austin, who also won a Grammy. I also interviewed the fellow from The Four Tops.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. We are making black progress. Stay tuned.
Well, it's like I get to wake up early and have a cup of coffee and breakfast with my favorite two folks in the whole wide world every day. That's Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins, and I'm Carrie Hines right here on the All Know Here Radio Morning Show. And you get to do the same thing. We start from 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 Central Time. Take the show all the way to 9 o'clock in the morning here in New York Live. Always make it a great day. It's Two Thumbs Up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Okay, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. It is mid-show, and I am with none other than Nicole Marie, our queen of the morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Mid-show.
Happy mid-show. Yes.
And I'm, as you guys know, just running through the building to get back to you guys. Just, you know, enjoying the broadcast this morning. And I just want to say officially, officially good morning to everybody. I had forgotten about this incredible interview with Mary Lee Johnson from Hair Head Heart, who was one of our favorite contributors to the broadcast. Doesn't Mary just bring it? She just has a delightful way about asking the questions. You know, she's just so, like, you remember the little Pillsbury Doughboy, you just wanted to stick your finger in the nose That is just so adorable. Just a great lady. We just love her here.
Yes, she is.
No, yes, yes. Well, Nicole Marie officially, hello, mid-show. It's about
hello,
not,
hello,
sorry,
hello.
7:10 in the morning. Yes, for New Yorkers.
Yes, it is.
6:10 for San Francisco. And I'm just super happy to be with everybody. Blossom,
oh,
I tell you, I want to shout out our platform folks at Blog Talk. I've known them for about 10 years now that we've been on the network, and I just want to say thank you. They just really went in and got some technical things in order for us, and the broadcast is sailing ahead.
Thank you.
Like never before.
All right.
So really great show today. So, Nicole Marie, we got some things to talk about today.
Let's talk.
I want to kind of say one of the things that kind of got me really going was this whole thing. You know, we had the elections yesterday, which is really fantastic, reminding folks to get out and do. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's right. It was Tuesday. Yesterday was Wednesday. Yeah, I'm a whole day behind. The gentleman who was in New York City in Harlem, which is like part of Manhattan.
Right.
You've been to Harlem before. I can say that.
Yes. I certainly have.
You've been to Harlem. You've seen the Apollo Theater.
Yes, I have.
You've been there. Yeah, and you kind of found
Harlem.
You guys found you. Yes, you and Mr. Luther, you
found
your own way.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to show
with
you
no
guys.
Problem,
we were so,
Harry, no problem.
We were so busy. Okay, no. You listen.
Sylvia's restaurant. Got to give a shout out to Sylvia's restaurant.
Woo. Oh yes, you really took New York by storm. And
yes,
if there's anybody who is self-sufficient, it is Nicole Marie. So you and Mr. Luther, y'all just went on. I mean, I didn't move it around that eloquently. You guys really, you went in. And so
you showed us what to do, and we made it happen.
And thanks for giving me a little credit, but no, this was you guys. And just an amazing thing. And this gentleman, who way back in the day was accused of a horrific attack on this jogger in Central Park, which is one of the biggest parks, I believe, in the country, and a Caucasian lady, and so five young teenage boys, I mean, they were not older than 14 or 15 at the time.
Right, they were young.
Were accused of a crime. Now, if you can imagine how racially motivated and racially charged everything is these days, think back to 1995. Where folks could just say you did something and you'd have a hard time trying to disprove them.
Right.
So this fella was one of those. And they had a horrific name. I'm not even going to say the name they called the five gentlemen. But they later changed that moniker to the exonerated five, which is correct.
Right.
They were exonerated years later after serving long lengths in prison type thing or jail, whatever.
Oh,
real sad story. Again, you guys know how it is, so I don't have to tell you. But I want to say his name is Yusuf Salam, and you can Google him. I've shared his story out on our Facebook. It's something that you should take a look at. He's been named to city council, elected to city council. So we're all about hair, beauty, and community. Yes, congratulations to Yusuf Salam. Again, named to the city council in Harlem, which is Manhattan, New York City. So it's a section, it's called Harlem. You guys know they have a rich history in our community. And so speaking of community, I just want to really... Speaking of city council now, we have our very own Nicole Marie, who's also an elected official of the city council down in Water Valley, Mississippi. Yes. And I tell folks, we're all about community.
We certainly are.
Hair, beauty, and community.
Hair, beauty, and community. And there's
going
on in our community. Yes.
Exactly.
We're right there.
We were right there. I was talking about this with someone. I said, well, yeah, you may tune in and hear one moment it's about hair, and we're talking about beauty and hair, shampoos, conditioners, and the next moment you might hear us talking to the soldiers with
right.
Michael Hopkins, who hosts the Vet Talk radio show on Tuesdays at 8:30. Nicole Marie may be talking about her board, her community meetings down in Water Valley. And I may do the same since I was appointed here in New York as an official, a New York City public
yes.
official, which I've been serving since May of 2023. So I'm super
yeah.
excited.
Well, Carrie, mm-hmm. that's what it's about. We have so much going on in our community, and we're just here to educate because that's what we need to do. We need to talk about issues that are going on, bring them to the forefront, because a lot of times we don't see it in the media, and we just are not talking about some of these issues that we talk about, and it's so important. And
exactly. Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I just, it means so much for us to see representation through everything.
Yes.
It has been very damaging to live in a society that is very hypocritical, in my viewpoint.
So true.
And so to navigate all of these waters, we need to stick together. And so we've
yes.
tried to let that shine throughout our work at Hair Radio.
Together we can
and
do
so
much more, Carrie. And some people
together
just don't
we
realize
can do more
that because
than
that hasn't
talk.
It hasn't happened. Yes. We have got
together
to come together.
We can do more. Well, see, everybody else knows that, except for some reason, I think assimilation was part of the problem. I think the media seems to be a propaganda arm to all the disinformation that's out there. You've got folks who are rewarded or not held accountable for anything unless you're a person of color, and those same laws
right.
seem to work against us. But again, this is the society that we find ourselves in, and the only solution, I believe, is what you just said, and that is to work together. So we're going to keep at it. We're going to keep at it, Nicole Marie.
Yeah, we're not stopping.
We really are.
We're
gonna
not stopping.
Keep trying to turn this
we
around.
Are.
Yes, I do. I want to say that today it's all about that discussion. We'll probably look a little closer at it in the next hour. We also expecting some surprise callers, so we'll see how that pans out in our spotlight hour coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. So we'll get more into that. We have some new segments starting soon right here. We will be looking at something called hairography. The hairography is kind of like a play on the word biography, but instead it features maybe someone that you know, maybe someone that you'd like to know. We will be sharing their stories with you and tying it into their style and more specifically their hairstyle. So that's called the hairography. It'll be coming soon. We're going to. I cannot wait to roll it out to you. And then
hey,
as we started yesterday with, yeah, me too, with our How to Get Rich segment that we look inside the book that I wrote called How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. There's a new audio version that is really out there, which is just a great voiceover artist who speaks on it, and it's just great. But I'll take a look at some of the highlights in the book and share that with you. Again, it's How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. It's sold out there across platforms, including Amazon, or speak to us. So, Nicole Marie, speaking of books and inspiration and all that, we'd be remiss if we do not talk about, I call it HOD, which is Hope of the Day. Nicole Marie, yeah, it really is about the Hair Radio Morning Show, and as you were pointing out, each day letting us tell our stories that we
yeah.
want to hear. And I love that your daily burst of inspiration feeds into that. And I love that it helps us to get our day started. on the right track. So we have got to talk about hope of the day. And for those folks who are just joining us today for the very, very first time, they have no idea what hope of the day is all about. What would you tell them, Nicole Marie?
Well, thank you, Carrie. And I would tell them the hope of the day is shared every single day here on the Hair Radio Morning Show for all of the fans listening. And it's an inspirational way from a book called High Hopes by Patrick Lindsay. And it's just an encouraging, inspirational way to start the day, to something for you to hold on to through the day, just to keep you going. And hope is the belief that our future can be better than our past. And just being able to hold on to that positive expectation that change can and will occur in our lives. Hope gives our lives meaning. And like I said, just something for us to hold on to just help us make it through. And today, for the day, is take responsibility, not just for your mistakes and failures, but also for your successes and the problems that beset you. They may not be your fault, but it's your responsibility to react to them, to find solutions, to change things. Back to you, Carrie.
Wow. To change things, to how you react to them. And that can lead to the type of change that actually needs to happen. But you do have to pay attention. I love what Patrick says in the book, High Hope. I just think that this is really, really amazing. And that's true. I think it's about how you react to it. I think that's important.
Exactly.
I think you got to be aware of the fact that you may need to keep an open mind about change. And I think that that's what leads you where you got to go. That's kind of just the way I look at it. But I love the hope of the day and this wonderful inspiration. What about yourself, Nicole Marie? How do you react to the about change and all of that?
Well, first let me say, Carrie, that change is inevitable. Whether we like it or not, it's coming. Every single day there's change with something. So I believe and I attack and take on change in a positive way because it's coming no matter what. So there's no need to be upset about it because it's coming whether you like it or not. Whatever it is that you're facing or what's going on around you, try and find the solution if you can. Help where you can. Anything that you can actually change yourself, then you have a responsibility to do that or to help assist with those that are around you in making change with something. So I think that's what Patrick is saying about take the responsibility to step up and do that. Very important.
I agree. I think, what is that old saying, the only thing that what is it? The only thing that doesn't change is change.
Change itself,
Yeah, that's correct. And I love that. Well said, Nicole Marie.
So
great job on the hope of the day. Now, I'm wondering, how does Michael Hopkins weigh in on this conversation?
Oh, I know he has.
That sounds like Michael Hopkins right
good
there.
Good morning, Michael.
Yes, happy
good morning,
Joe Hopkins. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So good morning again.
Wow. This one is a really good one, Nicole Marie. It really is. Because a lot of times people don't want to be held responsible for their actions. They want to skate around. They don't want to do. And then they don't want to come up with a solution even when it's their issue. It's their fault, their issue. They want to blame it on somebody else. We see this all the time. Carrie, you always point that out, that here in the media, people don't want to take responsibility. Oh, it wasn't me. It was my childhood. My cat told me to do it. And Yeah, knows what
else. Now, Michael,
else.
How are you at recognizing when it's time to change? What would you say to that?
Wow. Yeah. That one. When you look at things, you know, you analyze stuff, you see what works, what's not working. If it ain't working, you got to fix it. It's just real simple. That's the way I look at it. If something I'm doing is not working, I need to do something else. I need to figure out some things until I can get it to work. That's the way I always look at life.
Okay. Well, listen, we appreciate that. And I just think that this is kind of the way to go with all of this. I think this is fantastic. And I appreciate the kind thoughts and all of that. Michael, I want to talk a little bit about the Veterans Day celebration that comes to us at the, actually in a couple of days on Saturday. Now, you guys
very
know we don't broadcast anymore, just to shift gears a little bit. Nicole, I'm so excited to kind of be galvanizing this effort through the Hair Radio Morning Show to recognize the incredible contribution that the veterans have made to our great
nation.
So
very important, yes.
Absolutely.
Very much.
So when we come back, we're going to take a little bit of a music break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Michael about Veterans Day. We're going to talk about the special that we carried on the 24-hour network yesterday that recognized quite a few episodes of Vet Talk Radio, and also Season 3. We got a lot to get into. And then, of course, in the next hour, we're going to continue with some other conversations in our Spotlight Hour. And we just got a lot going on. Now, this is that song that you guys asked for. It's called Something About You. It's a little bit R&B-ish. So if you're not used to R&B beaming out on the Hair Radio Morning Show, get ready. prepare your ears. Her name is Shanika Sande, is the singer. And I love it because she was a guest right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We always talk to the folks. And speaking of Harlem, she stars in a TV show about Harlem.
Yes,
you can Google it. So we've got a lot of, what do they call it, synergy going on. So it's a great, great song. It's called Something About You. Take a listen, and we'll be back. Great job.
I'm impatient, and with God's timing and spacing, well, something about you just caught my eye. Now I'm not trying to think about you, but I'm thinking about you, wanting you to come through, cause something about you just gives me butterflies. Reason to still believe in love. Found you, still wouldn't budge. Hear me out before you judge. I don't mind seeming difficult. I just want a love that's biblical. The visible principles are the ones most critical to become one, the two individuals.
The mysteries of you and the carapace of me. Beneath his light, me and you, Lord, the spaces in between. Sovereign. change my mind. Boy, there's something about you, girl. You could change my mind. Wanna let you know that you could. You could change my mind.
Hi, I'm Carrie Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Carrie Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner grows hair. Carrie Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Carapi, and we thank you. Please register at Carapi.com and join our Carapi community at HairRadio.com. Again, I'm Carrie Hines. Thank you.
Yeah, Carrie, it really is a big loss. You know, he was an NFL icon. He was a social activist. He was a movie star. You know, Jim Brown, he did a lot for the community. He really did. And actually, he only played professional football for a short period of time, from about 1959.
Really?
Right, from about 1959 to 66. And in 66, Carrie, believe it or not, he was filming a movie, and the owner of the Cleveland Browns at the time was putting demands on him to come back to practice. And that's where it stemmed from. And Jim Brown decided he wanted to take charge of his own life. Because actually, football back then is not like football is now with free agencies and all that. And it's not the same. Back then, when you played for a team, it was like you're there for the duration of your career.
That's it.
It was a little bit different back then. So he got into a little hassle, and then that's why he ended his football career and turned to a movie career.
Wow.
And then, Carrie, believe it or not, Carrie, in 1967, he organized the Cleveland Summit on behalf of Muhammad Ali. At that time, Muhammad Ali refused to go into the United States military to engage in or perform in the war in Vietnam. It was against his religious principles. Well, he was stripped of his title and sanctioned, and the government even came up with something. They wanted him not to go to war, but they wanted him to promote the military, and he would be doing exhibition fighting and all that. Well, he still didn't want to do that. So what Jim Brown did in 67, June of 67, he organized this Cleveland Summit, and he brought some of the best black athletes that were around at that time, and he brought them all together to talk to Muhammad Ali. But the thing that it did, it showed the unity among the black players. At the time, as we know, that it was the turbulent 60s, and there was a lot of racial strife and all the things that were going on, the Dr. King, the Malcolm X. I mean, all of this was going on. But he stood up. He was strong. And Jim Brown decided enough is enough. So he brought all of these black athletes together. Even though Muhammad Ali did not go along with, because of his religious principles, another principle was born. It showed the power of the black athlete. It showed the beautiful power of that. Jim Brown went on to be in some of the best movies of the 60s, 70s,
oh,
80s, and 90s. My
yes,
goodness.
And we all know them, Michael, as blaxploitation movies
right.
that he was able to really make a big indelible mark.
Sure did.
But I've got to say that we will never forget the incredible prowess of Mr. Jim Brown. Michael, great job today.
Thank you, Carrie.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. Thank you, Purple Barbie. It is mid-show at 7:37, if you're in the East Coast, I should say. 6:37, if you're out in Central Time Zone, it's Thursday, November 9th of 2023. It's our show number 916. So that's show number 916. Let me bring back to the line. We're not going to let him off the hook that easily. We're talking about the one and only Mr. Michael Hopkins, host of VTR, the Vet Talk Radio Show, and soon to be so many other things. We're going to talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah.
Michael, again, GM, good morning to you.
Yes, sir. Morning, morning.
Yes, and to all of our fans, quite sincerely, you know, we really appreciate this and you guys checking in with us each day. It just reminds me, I think we were having a little conversation about the incredible work of when I was growing up, and I think when we were just much younger, there was, the lady out of Philadelphia, she was on the radio every day.
Oh, yeah.
And Mary Mason is her name.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I remember her very well.
I believe she's still down there in Philadelphia area. I mean, she's certainly retired at this point. But
yeah.
I remember growing up, each morning it was must listen to radio. Do you remember those days, Michael?
Oh, very much so, Carrie. Being blue, you know, when I was back in those days, I was little, and my grandma used to be focused on Mary Mason. She would be locked in. And it was
now,
like a family tradition.
Right, Michael, you're from Philadelphia. I'm from Philadelphia. You're from North Philadelphia. I'm from North Philadelphia. And we have
born
family
and
all over. And born and raised. Yes, that's right. I got to say, and maybe it was a Philadelphia thing because she was on WHAT down there. And maybe it was just something that we did down there. I don't know. But Mary used to go in.
Oh, yeah.
Mary used to go in. And I think I owe the success of the Hair Radio Show in part to the legacy that is Mary Mason. And so I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge her. You talk about the hairographies that we're going to be doing here on the show. I do want to recognize the shoulders upon which
we stand here on our show. And if we can just in some small way measure up to the hard work that these folks who came before us demonstrated and really led the way, then I feel that we've done what we're here to do. And so
very much so,
we're going to continue on that journey and really push forward with all kinds of things here. And remind you, yes, we've done 916 shows as of today. 915 other Hair Radio morning shows out there. That's a lot.
Very
that's
much
commitment.
So. Oh,
and
yes,
if
it
that
is.
Doesn't tell you, right, Michael? Have you ever been that committed to something, Michael Hopkins?
Oh, yes, very, very much so, Karen. I was committed to the military as one. You know, I had a total of 21 years in the military. I did all three.
And how did that affect you, sir? How did that affect your life, being that committed to the military? Because I know it has, but I'm going to see what you tell everybody, Michael. How did that affect your life, being so committed to the military?
It taught me a lot of things, Carrie, about myself, about people, about doing the right thing, serving the country, sacrifice. It taught me about family, duty, honor. It taught me all those things. It also taught me how to grow up, how to be an adult, how to take responsibility for your actions, how to help other people, how to be selfless. It taught me things like that, being associated with the military. And it's just a whole...
Share... Go ahead, Michael. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was just saying it's a whole different vibe that I get from people who were not in the military. And when I'm around my military brothers and sisters, we have that camaraderie. We may not have ever met each other in life. We may not have ever met each other. We could be in two different parts of the country is where we're from. But when we're together as military people, we understand certain things. We've all been through pretty much the same things. It doesn't matter what era you served in, what branch you served in, uniform. It doesn't matter. We all understand certain things, and we can all talk about the same things. It's kind of uncanny sometimes, Gary.
As committed, I would say, then, Michael, as you are. That's what the passion that you guys share. And so I love that word, camaraderie. I think that really says it all.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Very
awesome.
Much so, Karen.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think being committed to the broadcast, to our platform, this has been life-changing. And we continue to rise to that. We really do. Kind of like what you had covered a little bit earlier. You were talking about the amazing success of Mr. Jim Brown, who we lost not all that long ago. And I love that we have that piece that we get on with Michael. Really great job. You really nailed that, Michael. I just want to say outstanding work, you know, in broadcasting. So really good stuff.
Great athlete, great actor, great humanitarian.
Yeah. Well,
it's
broadcasting for you, Michael Hopkins. You did a great job. So really awesome.
Oh, yeah, and I appreciate you saying that, Carrie, because
it's
like that, to me, it just means so much. It really does. And I'm glad when I have the opportunity to do pieces like that, and I'm going to do a lot more in future shows. I have other things lined up that, you know, I'm committed to do.
I think it's going to just jump out of the microphone and out of the speakers. And just having you to be part of all of this, and we're just real proud. So this Thursday, throwback music. We've been kind of killing it this morning with all kinds of wonderful things and
great talk, and want to remind everybody about the Salon TV Network, which is kind of taking shape, and I'm just really excited about it. We're going to talk
so
about
am
that
I, Gary.
Today. Yeah, Michael.
So am I.
About to fall on the ground because the Salon TV Network really is going to epitomize promotions in and around the hair and beauty industry and what we're doing here, but also kind of unite us. And so we'll be talking about a lot of the broadcasts that you'll be able to see, about some of the things that are on the network. We'll be doing some version of live broadcasting as well. We're going to cover shows. I'm going to shoot what's called B-roll footage and other things and be out there with all kinds of stuff. So this is just the beginning, of what you guys are going to see and how this itself is going to be very much life-changing. I got to say, this is the best I have ever seen Blog Talk today.
Wow.
It is just
Very much so, Karen.
I'm like, whoa, is this the same platform? And I believe it is. It's just, it's on point. And that's
amazing,
the way it should
isn't
be.
It?
It's shocking. Downright shocking.
Yeah, I love that.
I got to say, so we are grateful to the folks. So listen, Michael Hopkins, awesome job. We are just killing it today and so much. Why don't we just take a little bit? I want to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, we're expecting some guests in the next hour. We're going to also chat with Mike a little bit more about what's coming up season three for this, that talk radio and so much more, plus a lot of surprises. We're going to see if we can roll out some on the show, and I think we're going to be doing well for that. So listen, here's a little bit. Nicole Marie also did one of these tribute pieces, like Michael did for Jim Brown. So here's the one that was done. I think we did one on Miss Tina. I'm going to see if I can find that one that Nicole Marie did. I think she did a great, great piece. So let's take a look and see if we can find that. Do you remember that, Michael? Was that not just fantastic?
Oh, very much so, Carrie. That was one of my favorites from Nicole Marie. It really was.
Yes. Well, listen, let us see if we could take a little listen, and we'll be back. Stay with us. More Michael Hopkins, more Carrie Hines on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm listening, and you should be too. Stay tuned.
This is a girl power moment honoring the one and only Tina Turner. Tina Turner was born Anna Mae Bullock in Brownsville, Tennessee, and her family lived in the rural community of Nutbush, Tennessee. As a young girl, she sang in the church choir. Turner began her career with Ike Turner's King of Rhythm in 1957 under the name Little Ann. She appeared on her first record, Box Top, in 1958. In 1960, she debuted as Tina Turner with the hit duet single, A Fool in Love. When Turner walked away from years of abuse from Ike Turner, the one thing that she fought for was her name he had given her. Turner declared that she would be the first black female rock star, and she understood that she had the voice, the talent, and the work ethic. Turner achieved her first and only number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with What's Love Got to Do with It. Better Be Good to Me and Private Dancer were both U.S. top 10 hits. Turner's success continued worldwide, and she became a superstar performer and was referred to as the Queen of Rock and Roll. Her music inspired generations with her dynamic, powerful, and electrifying voice and performances. She broke cultural barriers and impacted the music community. Turner also acted in the films Tommy and Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. In 1993, What's Love Got to Do with It, a biographical film was released. In 2009, Turner retired after completing her Tina 50th anniversary tour, which is the 15th highest grossing tour of the 2000s. As of May 2023, Turner has reportedly sold around 100 to 150 million records worldwide, becoming one of the best-selling recording artists of all times. She received 12 Grammy Awards, 3 Grammy Hall of Fame Awards, and a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. Turner could always be seen wearing micro miniskirts, leather pants, or sequin dresses, showing off her gorgeous legs. She was an unstoppable force with resilient stamina. Tina Turner will be missed. Her memory lives on through her music and the incredible legacy that she leaves. Tina Turner, you were simply the best.
We don't need to know the way.
right. It's all about community. Michael Hopkins, Nicole Marie, and I'm Carrie Hines. Listen, I am so excited to talk about this. This is a subject that I've kind of wanted to really delve into. First of all, everybody knows that the Hair Radio Morning Show is all about hair, beauty, the big C word, community. And we have not just walked, or should I say just not talked the talk, but we literally have walked the walk. And we continue to do so. Just recently, our colleague and radio program host, Michael Hopkins, who has been a veteran advocate, I'm going to say claims advocate for a long, long, long time, helping veterans to navigate this sometimes convoluted process to to get their claims approved at the rating that they should. So, Michael, you have literally become, you've grown right in front of our eyes. You are now an official accredited claims agent. So your commitment to community is clear. And that's what we're going to be talking about on this particular segment of the broadcast today. So first, why was this so important, Michael? We all know that you host the Vet Talk radio show, but why was it so important for you to become accredited? And what does that mean exactly?
Wow. First of all, it was so important for me, Carrie Hines. I saw the struggle, and I continue to see the struggle that so many veterans go through in this claims arena with filing for claims, getting turned down, and the frustration, and a lot of guys just quit. The government, i.e. the VA, seems to make it so hard for you to file for compensation for things that happened to you while you were on active duty. And, you know, me personally, I went through the frustration. I still do go through the frustration of filing for things and getting turned down. And then you read the decision letter and you get kind of disheartened. But, you know, me, I've learned how to go back and read and research and so forth. There are a lot of veterans out there that it's their first rodeo doing this. And they get turned down and they say, oh, my God, I know I've got this. I go to the doctor for this. They should know I have this. I was stationed there at that place. I was in the war zone. This is what happened. But yet they're telling me that it's not service connected. And then I'm talking to a person or I'm communicating with a person who has never been in the military. And I'm using military terms and things, thinking that they should understand because they're the VA. But then I realize they don't understand what I did, where I'm coming from, what happened to me, what I suffer with right now. And that's what made me and drove me to becoming an advocate for veterans. The accredited claims agent, or ACA as you call it, Carrie Hines, it was just a quest because I knew once I got that designation, and it comes from the Office of Veteran Affairs, Office of General Counsel up in Washington, D.C. I can officially help veterans, not just kind of guide like I was doing before. I would guide them and educate them with them and filing and paperwork and so forth and what they should do. But now it's official. I can officially go in, review their records, give them recommendations. I can even file on their behalf. The wow. Government allows me to do that. They sign a power of attorney with me, which means I'm their representative in the government's eyes. So the government allows me to help them, and that feels so good when I have a lot of my veteran brothers and sisters that come to me. They need help. I guide them.
I mean, this is a specific POA, so it's not like Michael's.
Yes, it's not like I can, you know, I have, yeah, it's specific for them in the claims process.
Well, listen,
very much so.
I just thank you. And on behalf of everybody here at our show and all that we're doing, we appreciate the work. We appreciate the effort. And, you know, the whole idea behind community is what you're doing. And today we really wanted to kind of delve in. Everybody knows we're Hair and Beauty, and we talk about Hair and Beauty. We're going to be talking about it a little later in today's show, as always. But I really wanted to shine the light a little bit on just a little different part of what we're doing here on the broadcast. It's in the title, really, literally. And so thank you, Michael Hopkins, because you're putting the C in the community right here.
Yes, you
and
are.
Supporting your fellow veterans.
Very much so.
We thank you for that. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to my wonderful colleague and co-star and co-host, who in her own right represents her community down in Water Valley, Mississippi. And she's been doing it for quite a while, and we're going to talk to her about that, but I know she has some questions for Michael. So I am going to bring to the line, of course, the one and only our Queen of the Mornings, Miss Nicole Marie. So it's nice to have you on a community special, Nicole Marie.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so
much.
My pleasure. So happy to be here. And Michael, you are now in your second season with the Vet Talk Radio Show. What has been your experience to this point? And then in the future, where do you see the show going? What do you have planned for the show?
Good stuff.
Wow. Great questions, Nicole Marie. Great questions. Well, to answer your first question, it's just been quite a ride. It really has, and I have learned so much. And I always, with me and Carrie, we always kind of joke about, I would always tell him that I went to school for what we're doing here with the Vet Talk Radio Show and the morning show with Carrie Hines. I went to school for this. But the funny thing about it, when I got out of college, I went into the military, did the complete opposite of this. And after getting out of the military, you know, I wound up, once again, I was in something that's always paramilitary. I did high-level security in federal buildings, in D.C., I did training. I became a trainer. I owned a training business. I did all those things over like a 30-year period.
Wow.
But the funny thing about it, I got introduced to Mr. Carrie Hines, and the rest, shall we say, is history. I came back to doing what I learned how to do. And it's so funny sometimes because I enjoy it so much. I really do. I enjoy what we're doing. And to answer your other question, like the future for me, getting out there, helping more vets, training other people to help more vets.
The shop money is fast money, and if you're wise, you'll stash the money, because eventually you'll get burnt out. Now your pocket's looking funny. Never saw it coming, because you've been balling since 24. Doing hand designer shoes all day, now your knees sore. Create your exit plan, or you'll be stuck in the trap. Like selling dope, the money come faster with no plan, it's a wrap. Miss your kids growing up trying to stack that paper. Now they're grown and you missed out on their life, and I hope they don't hate you. The shop will make you money, but it could leave you blind. Taking that thing that you can't get back, and that's called time. Taking trips to the hair show, yeah, that's sweet, but then you gotta rush back to the shop to stand on your feet. I'm just trying to school this generation the best that I can. Ball out and stack that paper, make sure you got an exit plan. The hair game is like a trap, money falling in your lap. God forbid you get sick, now your clientele off track. You better get you some insurance, and that's just something you can't dodge, cause you mess around and you get sick, now you're forced to get a job. You buy your kids everything just to compensate for the time lost, traded in the best years of their life just to call myself a boss.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Folks, happy mid-show. Again, actually, it's our spotlight hour. Let me correct that. It's about 8:07 if you're in New York or on the East Coast, 7:07 if you're out in the Central Time Zone. I am so excited to have you guys with us. It's our broadcast show number 916, the show number 916, as we kind of lead on to our 1,000th show. So it's kind of a big broadcast today. Let me bring to the line my co-star, Mr. Michael Hopkins, who is out of wonderful, we're going to say beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia, and we're super excited to have Michael again. Michael, good morning, and happy Spotlight Hour.
Once again.
If you guys are on and you're listening to us right now and you're ready to talk, press 1. On your keypad on your phone, so that way we can bring you on and get your perspective this morning. We're talking about pretty much a wide range of topics for the hair and beauty industry. Also want to shout out to folks, and we're going to get into all of that. But again, press 1 so it'll be our indication that you are standing by. Very important. All right, so listen, want to first, Michael, this wonderful young lady, I didn't realize you guys hadn't been on, I don't think, together so much. But our fans have gotten to kind of know Karen. Don't say Miss Karen O. Listen, she does not know, but I like the name Karen O. I really do. Karen,
oh, yeah, it's got a ring to it.
It's got a ring to it. I love Karen O. I can't believe you don't use Karen O.
Everybody calls me K.O.
Okay. Well, listen, we got a panel talk this morning. So so we're really going in this morning. So stand by. We're going to check everybody out. But Karen O, you come to us out of the Atlanta, I'm going to say Atlanta, Georgia area, but I know you can break it on down for us, especially for somebody up in Brooklyn, New York. So we're going to have you to kind of chime on in. What we're going to do, we're going to get everybody all lined up. So I'm going to take a little quick little break. And when we come back in, we're going to talk with this panel this morning about the status of the industry. Perhaps some real general easy talk. We're not going to scare anybody off this morning. So lots more to get to this morning. And coming right up, so just stay with us. We have a couple minutes. Maybe we'll just toss on something. This is Back to Black with the late Miss Amy Winehouse. We'll put this on when we come back in. Get ready. Big talk today until 9 this morning. Stay with us.
He left no time to regret.
I just love myself some Amy Winehouse. I'm Keri Hines. It's Thursday morning, November 9th of 2023. Again, it's about 8:14 in the morning, 7:14 if you're in Central Time Zone. Let me first bring Michael Hopkins, my colleague. We're going to bring Michael on to kind of, you know, just help us out here. And I want to take a moment as well. Michael, again, good morning to you. Happy Spotlight Hour.
Oh, yeah, once again.
Yeah, but that's okay because our fans were welcoming folks who are just joining us. I want to bring back to the line Ms. Karen O. We're going to say Karen O. And Karen, I'm going to change it to O-H with an exclamation point. Karen, yes, good morning. And I want to introduce you
good
to
morning.
Michael Hopkins officially. I know you guys are aware of one another's existence already through the broadcast, so just wanted to welcome and officially bring you guys into the same space today. So, hi, Karen.
Hey there.
Sounds like a plan. Yes. Good morning, Karen. Good morning.
Good. Thank you so much. Good morning as well.
All right. And we're going to have a little panel thing going on. Now, not only do we have this introduction, but we've got a gentleman who is kind of based out in Chicago, but he does these incredible big shows, you know, with fashion and hair and all of this. And I'm just so excited because he's bringing his show to my neck of the woods in Brooklyn, New York. So we are mixing it up today. Let me welcome also live on the air for the very first time with our panel talk, and that is Mr. Mark David Carter.
Mark, good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay.
How's it going in New York City?
It's going beautifully. How's Chicago?
Oh, it's freezing cold.
Yep. Sounds good so far.
Yes. Now listen to this. This is what I love about the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've got Karen O, who's down in the Atlanta, Georgia area. We've got Michael Hopkins, who is in, Michael, I'm going to try this, Spotsylvania, Virginia.
Very much so.
I don't know where exactly, is that south or north or central or what have you, but we'll have you kind of weigh in on
south
it.
South of D.C.,
and
yep.
It's south of D.C., okay. Okay, great. And, of course, we've got Mr. Mark David Carter, who comes to us out of the Chicago area, but you're going to bring some of that cold, I'm sure, with you when you come to Brooklyn, New York for your big hair hair and fashion show. So I can't wait. We'll talk about all of that. But first, let me lead in. Karen, I'm going to kind of start off with you being a licensed cosmetologist and somebody who is big in the hair, and you know, and you're always forthright. So if you don't know one thing about Karen, Karen's going to tell you how a T is. Remember in the old days, we used to say that, how a T-I-Z. And we love that. So, yeah, really good.
Yes.
So, Karen, so first, Karen, in your time out there with the hair industry, and we've talked a little bit off mic about this, but have you seen the industry change over the years? How might you weigh in on this?
No doubt. I think that it's detrimental that we, those of us who have been in the industry, and I've been doing it 30 years, so I've been in business since 92. Okay. So, but what I do is corrective hair. So I don't do weave. I don't do it. I just grow it. So I have a lot of people that fly in to see me who have had cancer or anything that has, that they need correction for. I study with pathologists to make sure that the medications are conducive to the products that I use, and so there's a chemistry behind it. I think that we have gotten to the point where the education of it needs to be accessible, number one, and number two, that we need to bring it back to the forefront. We've had a lot of black schools who just are not teaching, and so even when you hire people to be assistants, you have to go back and teach some of the basics that the school should have taught them. That's retroactive. You know, we have got to build businesses where we can connect. We have had salons in the past, and that stood for a lot of reasons because it was a place where we can exchange ideas and visions and talent. And so what these suites are doing, they're taking that out of the game. Nobody is learning anything. There 70% of the stylists in Atlanta are not licensed. There is these shows that people are having. You know, everything in there is nothing but weave. So where do the corporate women go? Where do the people who want to learn the basics go? You know, they literally are starving for the education. So if we want our industry to grow and connect like we used to, because social media has also taken that out of the game, you know, it's a help and a hindrance. But at the same time, nobody's talking to each other. Nobody's having conversations, and we're not learning anything. And so we have to start creating businesses, because at first I wasn't going to reopen after COVID, but I was having a discussion with Killer Mike, and he's from Tuskegee, and I'm originally from Tuskegee. And so I come from an educational background. Yes,
wow.
And so I realized that we have to create what they can see. If they can't see what they can become, they can't achieve it. So we have to be, those of us in our industry who are, you know, veterans, we've got to, you know, show them that, you know, we really care about what we're doing, number one. And number two, that it's not a game. It's not a hobby. It is a profession that the more you know, the better you are at it. You know, we have got to be kind of like a joke to a lot of people. And it's not cool. So,
I want to jump in on that, Karen. Thank you. I love that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, because the only thing I want to say is that I want to bring everybody into the conversation, even if you are a weave queen or fella at this point now. If that's where you are, I want everybody to be part of the conversation. So we welcome everybody to the show. So listen, I want to turn to Mark David Carter. Now, Mark, first, before we even get going, I want to talk, just please remind everybody, because you have a big show that's starting here, and I'm sorry, that you're bringing to New York. So I just want you to touch on that, and then feel free to weigh in on if you have any comments.
Well, I wanted to also touch in on Karen. I wanted to touch in on Karen's subject, because I do recognize that there is a variation in the industry at this time, which has been brought on by COVID and all of the experiences that we're having. But Karen, far too often, I've come across professionals, licensed professionals, who are in the position of educating what would you call them, apprentices, and other youth students that had an interest. And guess what? Because they were tired of being behind the chair, it was being translated through the fact that they were still working, and they were responsible for teaching people. So I had a senior cosmetologist that has corporate clientele sing in front of these apprentices, "I'm sick of being behind the chair," time and time again. And while I was there, it hit my heart, because, you know, this person is responsible for educating these new people. And what's happening is they're already indoctrinating them to bad behaviors and habits of the industry, where they come in and want to instantly be the celebrity stylist and not do the work and the practice of the profession.
Right.
And so this is one of the things that I have seen with my own eyes, and I know that you have as well. And
no doubt.
I believe that we need other individuals like yourself who are still passionate, who still have that light for education, professionalism, and also taking the business to the next level. We need more people like you in the industry.
I agree. And I think that that is a huge problem, because I absolutely adore what I do. And so what happens is I'm really angry at the people who do that, because it, you know what I'm saying, if you have a passion, then, you know, God has a way of building the business for you. If you decide what you want to do, it'll build itself. This will be the ace salon that I built. And
beautiful.
Literally. Yes, and so I've been doing it that long, but it's no joke. You got to be built for it. And so I literally do not join a lot of the conversations on the internet because it's easier for me to be in person and speak on the education that we know and, you know, and join because they don't understand the basics of the chemistry behind it. And so they really think you're trying to be smart with them or this, that, and the other. The bottom line is that we just, this instant gratification of this generation has gotten out of hand because they think, like you said, they come into school and school sometimes let them get on the floor without them studying the book first. And a lot of the stuff that they're doing is not even in the curriculum. So how are
exactly. They,
you know, what are they doing? So we go to the hair shows, we have to come to IBS or premier shows to even get the education that if you want it, that it's available. Because I had to go to London, Paris.
The IBS show. Those are my friends here at the International Beauty Show.
Right.
Yeah.
But I live
in Don't forget, Bronner Brothers is coming back to Atlanta.
Okay, I'm on the phone. No comment.
Excited.
They're having their homecoming.
My friends are Bronner Brothers, and I've also been to the offices of the Premier folks who are based down in Orlando. Years ago. So this is all that we know. We are the hair industry. We don't just say we're the hair industry. We are the industry. And let me just bring everybody up to speed. And Michael Hopkins will be back in just a moment with a question for you guys as well. We'll have him weigh in towards the end of the show. But let me just officially say, I'm Kerry Hines. It's Thursday morning, November 9th of 2023. I've got two incredible folks joining us today, and for the first time together, and I love what you guys are talking about. Great conversation today. Ms. Karen Owens out of the Atlanta area, and Mr. Mark David Carter, who comes to us out of the Chicago area, but he's having a big show right here in New York, and in Brooklyn, New York, which is my neck of the woods. So, Mark, let me just lead him with you right now on this. Can you tell us a little bit about the show? And we want to hear a little bit about the details. Give us the deets on this, as the kids used to say. Probably not anymore. We're good.
Wonderful. On Sunday, November 6th, Thanksgiving weekend, after Black Friday and preceding Cyber Monday, we'll be hosting Natural Hair Fest New York at the Sheraton Brooklyn, located at 228 Duffield Street. And we'll be in the Metro Tech Ballroom on the lower level in downtown Brooklyn. We are going to have a host of classes, a holiday gift expo, live performances on our main stage. In addition to that, we're going to have the Afro INTL fashion show featuring fashion designer Mike Sela of Paris, France. We also have Oshun, whose name is Dilali Haliga from London. And in addition to that, we also have a local from Philadelphia. His name is Lord Proverbs. And he has the Illmatic screen. And so it's just going to be a fun holiday festivity, a celebration of natural hair, a celebration of natural beauty.
Amazing.
Karen, is that not just fabulous?
It's amazing.
Mark, awesome. Yeah, we love it. Great job, Mark David.
I hope you come to the
Come on out. And so guess what? Jumping back on Karen's conversation, in Chicago, we have a school called Pivot Point.
Okay? Yes, that's where I went to school.
Beautiful.
Pivot
so
point.
What happens is the name of the school is so important, Pivot Point. There have been many times over the last 25 years that my career as a beauty industry influencer where I've had to pivot.
Mm-hmm.
And natural hair is one of those pivot points for me. And And at first I used to be Metro Salon Pro, and I was basically covering the cosmetology side and the natural side of the business. But when I started showcasing natural hair in the publication, the cosmetology side kind of like dropped me. And it was then that I became aware of the politics of hair and yeah. how the different sides of the industry are on completely different tangents.
Absolutely.
And so just like with the technology being kind of like a pivot point as well, natural hair is one of the greatest pivot points at this moment in the industry at large.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I went to Vidal Sassoon in London and Paris, and I also trained at Capelli, which was a learning center here that was pivot point based. So I am well educated on the pivot point system because that is the system that Vidal Sassoon uses. So that's where I started. I was the only black in my school, and I knew that they had the access to the education, so that's why I studied there first. The problem is this is the biggest problem with natural hair that I see in the game right now. Everybody cannot natural. When people ask me, am I a natural hairstylist, I say, no, I'm a healthy hairstylist. Because it doesn't matter if people are natural, that doesn't necessarily mean you're healthy. So the bottom line is
well,
that I have to educate them.
Well, we've always said that. Healthy
And it's also relative to who has it. I'm literally seeing people who are 8 years old who have scalp conditions or their hairline is gone because their mothers are putting these types of braids and heavy crocheting and all this stuff in their hair, and the hairline is traveling to the back. So it literally angers me because we use relaxers because they manage hair. We don't use relaxers because we want to be anything but black. But the bottom line is that everybody cannot be manageable and be healthy and natural hair. So we have to go on a person-to-person basis. And I find that a lot of women will hop on a train because people at their job are going natural. Okay, baby, but that might not be the situation for your hair. We want the most hair that a person can have, and we also want them to look well-groomed, and especially to the point
I love what you say, but I feel that I'm on the bandwagon or of the thinking that natural is best to me. I think that, you know, but you know what? Here's the thing. I think everybody has to decide for themselves.
No doubt.
But I do want to give everybody the right tools
everybody
that I'm aware
the
of.
Options. Everybody needs to have the options of being whatever they want to be, but still having healthy hair. So the stylist needs well-educated, well-educated on both because there's some chemistry and some education that's coming through the game right now. It is absolutely amazing. We are using nanotechnology delivery systems that they still use in cancer medications. Because cancers kill us faster and it's more aggressive because of our vitamin D deficiencies. So a lot of things are coming through the pipeline that people aren't even paying attention to because, number one, they don't know they exist. And number two, you know what I'm saying, they're not even making the effort to learn it because everybody's on this natural hair kick.
I hear you. I think it's part of that, but I also think there is there's a lot to it. It's not something that we can even solve today because it's so layered.
It is layered.
I've worked with the pharmaceuticals. I've worked in the industry. This is a big, big thing. And so, Mark, I think it's going to take some time. And Karen, I think it's going to take some time. But education is key. I can't argue
that. Education is key. Because what happens is we do in the industry, one of the challenges that we've also had is that we've had professionals who are licensed who actually have bad habits
and practices and things too. And what happens is it causes some of the challenges and problems that these clients have. And I've actually seen people place, 27-piece weaves on top of a client's abrasion on the scalp without referring the client to a dermatologist or a trichologist based on the fact that they had to pay their phone bill and they needed that $200 right then and there. So they said to the girl, I'm not going to do this again. This is the last time I'm doing this, meaning that they did it before. If you understand what I'm saying? And that this is the last time I'm doing this, you know, I can't be, and I'm sitting right there observing. And so what I'm sharing with you is that the way I look at natural hair, that right now we have the Crown Act law in place, and the Crown Act law does give
It's not federal yet. We would like it to be,
It's in mine. I'm raising my hand.
Yes. And it's in mine, too. Okay, but one of the things about the Crown Act law is that it gives everybody the ability to do what they want to do to their own head. It's your head. You do what you want to do. If you want to relax it, you relax it. If you want to go natural, you go natural. If you want to color it, you color it. But it also says that no one can discriminate against another person because of the way that they wear their hair.
And so I think, guys, I am so mad that we actually need to pass a law that says stay out of my hairstyle hair. I'm blown away.
I feel a couple of ways about that because I'm from Alabama. And when I grew up, my mother, I'm from Tuskegee, so my mother was of the knowledge, just like John Lewis, because I talked to John Lewis extensively here, and he was one of my heroes. He said he even went and bought a suit. He bought a suit to go get arrested, to go to jail, because he wanted to be fresh and clean.
Yeah.
My thing is, I don't care what you do to your hair, because it's relative to every person. It should be your choice. But if I own a business, I also have to look as if I do what I do. But if not, not only that, but people have a right to not have you look in any kind of way at their job if they're the business owner. Now, if you own your own business, you can set your hair on fire if that's what you want. But the bottom line is that I still, as a business owner, don't want somebody who does not comb their hair at my front desk. And I feel like that's a right as well. Mm. Now, so I think that it's a catch-22 with both sides, because I've had women come in here who want to go natural so they don't have to comb their hair. I've had somebody come in that I corrected in November. She had not washed her hair since till March. Literally.
Okay. Now that is, again, here's where education comes in. I'm not against folks who decide not to comb their hair, because I'm not. For me personally, again, it goes to that your hair, your choice, your voice type argument.
Yeah, but if you want me to
do that. I support that. Mm-hmm. But for me, but again, everybody comes in, and the hair spectrum, which is what we're talking about today, and this is very impromptu, but I just want to say that I appreciate every single person's perspective. I love it. And we are just having conversations. We don't have to, you know, necessarily, we can agree to disagree or we can agree, but I just love that we're able to bring the talk out, because leads to learning and the education process for everybody. And you know, and that's why we, it's across the board, and we got to, you know, but this is the start. It starts with this. It starts with having conversations here on the Hair Radio Morning. Our events, like Mark is having in New York on the 26th, on Sunday the 26th. I got to get it right. I'll be there, by the way, Mr. Mark David Carter, in Brooklyn, New York, at your event. So, but and I love the way that you're addressing it by having education.
Yes.
This show.
We
and
need it
that's
in Atlanta.
Important. Yes,
Well, you know, I just got to say, I love the folks down there. I still wonder where we are when we look at this. Just in our conversation today, we have on several different states. We do. And that is, that says a lot to bring a conversation like this, because everybody's a little different. You know, we got the different regions. And then when I bring in, or the different areas, and then sometimes I bring in Keisha from California. We don't have her today. We're going to shout her out. But it cracks me up because everybody comes in with a slightly different take on the hair, black hair care. And I love it. I absolutely love it. But the one thing that you guys are definitely agreeing on today is a lack of education. And and I just wanted to ask both Karen Owens, our guest today, and Mark David Carter, when it comes to social media, you touched on it a little bit, I believe, earlier, Karen. But I'll ask you, Mark, how do you feel about this? Do you feel that social media plays a part in perhaps the lack of education, or that maybe it's where we're getting our education from? And is that a good thing? How do you feel about that? Our guest today, again, Mark David Carter and Karen Owens. Mark, what do you want to say about that? Oh, let me see if we can get Mark. We may have lost Mark. Mark David Carter, are you out there? Do you have us on mute?
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. What do you say?
So one of the things about, you know, technology is that it is one of the great pivot points of the industry at this time. And what happens is that it's caught the industry off guard. When I say it's caught the industry off guard, when I was in college, there was a statement that many people don't even use the internet. And what I've learned, like when I tour to different cities across the country, I'm beginning to identify technology gaps where there are certain cities where the technology is not as used as much. And the way that I figure that out is because of hashtags that are commonly used in the beauty industry, they're not populated. When you go to hashtag natural, well, not natural hair, but natural hair in a specific area like, I'm going to say Raleigh or Tuscaloosa, you know, even Tallahassee, Florida, it's not populated. If it's less than 2,500 or less than 1,000, the hashtag isn't being used. And that means that the people in that area aren't aware that they can use hashtags to actually correlate or link their materials to specific people that have an interest in that particular subject matter. But what I've noticed is that we have to remember many of the cosmetologists, some of them can take classes in high school and come out of high school and transition into the salon. And then some decide to go to a beauty college, which has a completely different curriculum from a regular college, meaning that they might not require English or math or these other types of things in order to get your credit unit to be able. So when we also talk about continuing education, I believe that because many in the industry don't have a potential college background, and I'm not saying that there aren't any, because I know people that got master's degrees as well as bachelor's and doctorates from actual four-year institutions that are beauty industry professionals, but I'm saying that is very rare in the industry. And so there are these technology gaps. And what I find, I'm interested in the pioneers. You know, it took pioneers to get natural hair to where natural hair is today. And those pioneers were wearing natural hair when people were looking at them like they were crazy, like they had, you know, really lost their mind. And so
we have to have pioneers
into the technology for the beauty industry, because the technology is here to stay. It's not going anywhere.
Yes.
And and guess what? So in my event next year in the DMV area, DC metro area, I have a presenter that signed up as a vendor that's going to do a blockchain presentation for the beauty industry. Isn't that magnificent?
Well, hold that thought, Mark David Carter, because I believe we have on someone from your show who is just chiming in or standing by to chime in. Their number ends in two digits, 3131. So I'm going to bring them to the line. Looks like they're
bring
New York.
Bring them to the line.
Yes, they're New Yorkers. So Karen, wonderful guest today, just so that everybody knows who the players are on the Hair Radio Morning Show Live. We've got Karen Owens out of Georgia. We've got Mark David Carter out of Chicago area. And Michael Hopkins will be on with the last thought at the very tippy end of our broadcast today. But a special guest who's joining us now. Hi, good morning. You're on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We've got Mark David Carter and Karen Owens. Good morning to you.
Hi, I'm Catherine Schuler from New York City. I'm on the hair.
Oh, wonderful. Good morning. So what would you like to say this morning?
I met Mark last year, and I did the Afro International Hair Fest, and I'm a curator and creator of an entity called Runway the Real Way. I was one of the first plus-size models. I was pioneering the size diversity in the 80s. And I bring a kind of a diversity, fashion diversity on the inclusive catwalk element and flavor to any event that I help out with, because I believe that it's fashion democracy. We all get up in the morning and ask the same question: what am I going to wear?
Mark, you welcome to the show. Welcome to the broadcast. And Mark, did you want to jump in?
Yes. Kat is actually hosting our model casting tomorrow, and so I want to make sure that Kat got a chance to share with everyone, all of our listeners out there, that we're having a model casting tomorrow.
Yeah. We need to
and
fill
Kat,
that.
And Kat,
yeah, tell us a little bit more.
It's going to be at a wonderful restaurant that I do. I have an entity also called Cosmoda, which is Cosplay Runway. So it is around the Javits Center. And so I do, a friend of mine has a restaurant there called Greek from Greece. And I do Geeks and Greeks there for Comic-Con. But I also do castings there in the back room. And it's a wonderful area in the Garment District. It's a wonderful cafe in the Garment District. So he loves the liveliness of having models coming through.
Yeah.
So it's at 469.
It sounds very familiar. Yeah, I think I may have seen it. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and I'm very familiar with the Javits area, as I've walked through that building a million times over the years.
Yeah.
A million times, and usually it's in the cold during the IBS show. I think Karen mentioned IBS earlier. Yeah. So let me just say, it sounds amazing. 36. No, it sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's on 36th Street and 7th Avenue, so it's not so far west, but it's about three long blocks
not too far. You guys come into Penn Station, New York, and walk right down the street. You'll be there in a few minutes.
Walk right up the street. There you go.
Yeah, and we're gonna make sure everybody knows how to get there. And again, just want to thank you guys. I mean, this has been incredible. What a wonderful gathering today. Karen, what has been your thought on all of this? You've been down in Georgia, and you were hearing this up in New York. Do you see the excitement?
you see what is building and what you're a part of and creating right here on our show?
Yes, but I'm also having a lot of ideas on what I need to create. Because you know, there's such a need for a lot of different. I've had assistants, two of them that call me from school right now because of the education that I offer, want to work with me because I just love what I do so much, but I also like to educate.
Yes.
But the bottom line is social media has been a help and a hindrance because we've had people applying things wrong, putting monostat on people's scalps. We got all kind of stuff going on that's just absolutely ridiculous. And so it's one of these industries that really, if you're going to be on social media, then it needs to be done properly. And the stuff that I'm seeing is absolutely...
So the DIYers.
Well, that's a problem. And the thing is that those of us who are 50 and over, when we started, there was no social media. So you had to be good at what you did. So the bottom line is when we did one person, you know, we had to advertise. The advertising was different. So we literally, if we didn't have any walkthrough, which I hadn't, in the first four salons I had, I didn't have any walkthrough. But I was that good, and I'm still that good, but that's not the point. The point is that we need to have platforms, you know what I'm saying?
What hinders us
from being on social media in that way is because when I'm fixing somebody that's bald or they're going bald, a lot of them, you know, it has to be presented in the right way. And not only that,
that
I'm so busy.
I just want to say that.
Say again?
No, I said you're big on restorative care.
What happens is I'm really focused on what I got to do to fix it, and I'm focused on the consultation. I don't talk on the phone while I do hair. I don't allow my clients to talk on the phone while I'm doing hair.
No, she really doesn't. Listen, I don't play about what I do. She is busy. Listen, Karen, thank you so much for being with us.
No problem.
Just wanted to officially say that out of Georgia. And stay with us. Mark David Carter, what can I say? And Ms. Schuler, I'm going to chat with you because I want to drop by your location. And I don't think I'm waiting until I'm coming by there. So we're going to talk about that. So I'm going to reach out to you following today's show, if that's okay with Mark. Mark, what would you like to say about all of this? I kind of brought everybody in together today.
What Karen is speaking of is regulation.
Yeah.
Right now, the regulation aspect of social media and the internet is a governance dynamic. And right now, people aren't aware of this, but that's what cyber security is going to transform into.
Mm.
So we are really at the beginning of a great frontier where in the future, right now, one of the main reasons that getting on the internet is important is because there's a lot of freedom and flexibility that you do have and that it's not regulated. But as cybersecurity advances, there are going to be regulatory dynamics implemented. And potentially the same regulatory, the people who are responsible for the licensing in the beauty industry, they're also going to, you know, be responsible for the regulation of the information that is translated on social media. So
someone, you know how Facebook
can block somebody take down a post?
Yes.
The industry, as it grows and it becomes more understanding of social media and the internet, they're going to be able to regulate and say, take this down.
Okay. Well, before we sign off this morning, I just want to first officially thank everybody. Michael Hopkins, you're there. Of course, going to give you the last word, Michael, on this. You've been listening to Karen Owens. You've been listening to Mark David Carter. You heard Ms. Schuler. So we'll give you the last word. But before we do that, I just wanted to remind everybody about Mark's event. Mark, give us one more time the rundown for your event and how folks can get tickets.
Okay. It is Sunday, November 26th, Sheraton, Brooklyn. That's Natural Hair Fest, New York. And We're also hosting our model casting tomorrow at Greek from Greece restaurant located close to the Javits Center. And that's taking place. Kat, what time?
Oh, Kat, are you there? I think she is. Kat, are you there? What time is this going to happen tomorrow?
4 to 7 at 469 7th Avenue.
Wonderful. Yeah. I'm going to check in with you because I have some ideas as well. All right. Thank you. You guys are phenomenal. Michael, what would you like to sign off everybody with today? Anything you want to pass along or any, you've been hearing everything that we've been talking about today. And you yourself, you're a therapy distributor, so you're in the game. So what would you like to tell everybody today, Michael? Michael's a big community advocate. If you've spent 5 seconds with us, you know that. What would you like to say, Michael?
Wow, Carrie. This has just been so educational, especially for me.
Oh, you are starting us back on the educational word today. All right. Mm-hmm. And what's your comment about education, Michael? Has it been very
interesting?
It's
so very important. And I just stress that in this industry, it is so very important to be educated because I've heard some great talking points about what not to do, what should be done, what's missing in that whole industry. And it's like, wow, I did not know all of that. And I think for our guests here, one of the things would be educating the consumers. And that was going to be my question, like, how do you educate a consumer about
that's what I do. That's exactly
and
what
that's
I do.
What healthy hair care is really about, where the stylist is able to share hair care tips with their clients so that they don't have to go back time and time again to reverse damage and bad
and
habits.
And the chemistry of it is key, because if they know why they're doing something, then they know why they shouldn't be doing it, whether they're in my chair or somebody else's.
I just love this conversation. And we've moved the needle forward, even if you don't realize it. We've done just that.
Oh, yes.
And it starts today. I want to thank all of our guests again, Ms. Karen Owens, who is just doing big things out of the Georgia area, down in the Atlanta area.
Thank you so much for that.
Oh, you've been fabulous. Mark David Carter, what can I say? The man with the plan. And this incredible event, again, in New York City and Brooklyn area, November 26th of 2023. I'll be there as well. So come out and support me, folks, at Mark's event. So please. Want to also thank Ms. Schuler for calling in today. Again, she has a place 36th and 7th in New York City in Manhattan, which is right near the Jacob Javits Center. I'm always there, so we'll chat, and good luck with what you're doing. And Michael Hopkins, my colleague and Hair Radio Morning Show host and co-host, as well as Vet Talk Radio. Talk about community. Michael brings it each day right here. So, guys, thank you. This was really amazing.
Yes,
this was amazing. You know, we really didn't do any preparation, and you guys you knocked it out of the box. So, can I get you guys to come back next week, please?
Absolutely. Kat is also going to be a part of the presentation at 10 a.m. at Natural Hair Fest.
Oh, so she'll be there with me at my
panel.
She's
one of your panelists. Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Wow.
36 and 7. Yes. Kat, what's the name? It's the Greek restaurant, is it? Real quick.
Yeah, Greek from Greece. Greek from Greece.
Yes. I love it. I think I've seen this place, but we're gonna really go in again. Great job, guys. I'm just so impressed. Okay. Thank you so much, Kat. Appreciate that.
All right.
And Mark, great job. You bring it. And Karen, thank you guys. Of course.
No problem.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
I want to meet you.
Oh, job. Oh, listen to you. Well, we're gonna all get together, and we're gonna it's about family here and the industry. So I can't wait.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. So, listen, we're going to go ahead and go to our outro this morning. We'll see you back here at 6 o'clock in the morning for the next edition of the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines with Michael Hopkins and our amazing panel today. Make it a great Thursday. We just did.
It's time again to bring today's edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. On behalf of program creator Carrie Hines and the entire...